Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
She's soft rock.
She's, I guess, I guess in that realm. Late 70s, early 80s.
Ah, man, come on, man. That was before America.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is timeless music, man. It's timeless. I'm trying to educate you.
No,
I'm trying to bring you into a realm of a larger swath of musical appreciation.
Man, I told you I hit you with the Randy Travis. I got a decent.
You did hit me with Randy Travis.
A rock with Randy Travis.
That's good. But this is Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac. But Stevie Nicks especially. You know, she made a song, I've said this many times, that Prince went into the studio. He dropped the synthesizer track for her to play underneath the song. It became a huge hit. He didn't want credit. He is not credited, but she's often told the story about how he
just admired,
came in and just
Prince
laid the
track.
Prince
was smart like that, man. And Prince talks a lot about like how people met him. If you didn't own your rights or your publishing, he wouldn't do nothing with you.
Yeah, but like the fact that he would just come in and do it, I think it was like Stand Back was the name of the song. And it just, he just had his influence on it. And it was amazing. And he didn't want credit. Nothing. Don't put me in the liner notes. Nothing. Just, I'll help you. I'm happy to do it. See ya. And it was a hit. Amazing. All right. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. We're in hour number three. It is Friday. An effing Friday. It's been like that today. Full buffet, 800-919-3776 for the rest of the show. And Bart, it is hour number three. It is Friday. It is Bart and Han. What's that all mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour. Sponsored by nobody.
Not yet, anyway. Haters. Working on it. I mean, if you want to sponsor it. PSE&G, step up. Know what I mean? Speaking of power, right?
Unless they want it to be the blackout hour.
Like, think about this. The power play in Philadelphia, right? The Flyers, when they go on a power play, it's sponsored by PECO. Right, Pennsylvania Energy Company. I think that's what it is. It's PECO, I know that. And it's the energy company, whatever it is in Pennsylvania. And they call it the PECO Power Play. In where the Lightning play in Tampa, it's the TECO Power Play. Kind of the same idea. Why don't we have that in the power?
I don't know. We got to do a better job. Maybe we have to go there and sell it ourselves.
I think we got to do it. So we'll do it.
Pull up. We got to pull up.
We got to do it.
You know, it's that song on Instagram, that little boy. Pull up on me. You're going to have to pull up on them.
So we'll get the call.
We need that as a new drop, too.
I do like that. Yeah, I do like that. So we get the call stacked, racked, ready to go. We got a bunch of you to get to. We will certainly do that. March Madness last night, especially at Madison Square Garden, was that a lot of fun. Marquise Noel, all 5'8 of him, all 23 years old of him. He just dominated this game. 19 assists, a tournament record in Kansas State with the overtime win over Michigan State. They will move on, and they will play. The other game was, you had Tennessee there, and everybody all in their orange and all excited, and Florida Atlantic did it again. FAU. They come in, they get another win, 62-55, so it'll be Kansas State and Florida Atlantic to play for the Final Four. UConn with the win over Arkansas out in Vegas, and then Gonzaga with a classic finish over UCLA. Another slingshot kind of, you know, again, reminiscent of Villanova winning a bunch of years ago with Chris Jenkins. And so you get that dub, and that was an exciting finish. And so they'll play each other for a Final Four bid as well. And then, of course, we got all the games tonight. I'll go through some of the odds if you want to a little bit later on. Maybe during Can't Wait we'll do that. I'll give you some of the matchups tonight and what the odds are on those games. But last night also saw the Knicks lose their third straight game, Barb.
Houston, we got a problem?
Yeah, and I think they're off for 3 days. They don't play all weekend. So they're off for the next couple of days. They don't play until Monday.
Are Tibbs going to call a practice?
Well, I imagine the gym's
them
open.
Defensive rotation's been kind of sloppy, you know what I'm saying?
They have been a mess, yeah. They haven't been good offensively, but the defense has really been the bigger issue. Another game they give up three-point shooting to not a great three-point shooting team. And they're giving up 50% shooting from three over the last three games. And the fourth quarters in the last two games were brutal. The Heat in the fourth quarter on Wednesday night hit 6 of 7 from downtown to clinch the game, whereas the Knicks were trying to fight back and grab the win. They couldn't because they couldn't stop the threes. And then last night, the Magic, who are also in the bottom third in the league in three-point shooting, they went 7 of 8. Banchero, who shoots 28%, hit a corner three. The rookie hit a corner three that was pretty much the dagger. And it was like, I mean, nobody could miss. And it's once again, like you said, there's no closing out. It's just slow on defense, scrambling. and other teams getting into rhythm. So they look tired. They do. And some of the criticisms that fans always have about Tom Thibodeau is, oh, he runs his teams into the ground. I don't know if this is a minutes thing as much as this is a schedule thing. They have, as I said earlier in the show, they have played, they went to a stretch where they won 9 straight and 12 of 15. Torrid pace. Then they did a lot of traveling out to the West Coast for 4 games, including a back-to-back. Down to Florida for another back-to-back. An afternoon game against Denver. Like, it's just a lot of stuff coming at them, and you could just see it's catching up to them. So right now you've got 3 days off. You play Monday against the Rockets with 7 games to go in the season, and you're a game and a half up for the 5th spot in the East. Monday's game's the first must win of the season. Wednesday might be the next one. But the very next game is the must win because you got to put a stop to the losing and you've got to get closer to clinching a playoff spot just so you can exhale. But this break in the schedule might have come at the perfect time. But it also came at a perfect time for Julius Randle because at halftime of the game last night, he had another outburst where he went off on officiating, mad at calls that he wasn't getting. And that's not the only problem. He gets a tech. It happens. But the bigger issue was, as teammates tried to pull him away, including Emmanuel Quickly, he started getting into Quickly's face. He started getting more aggressive with his own teammate than he was with the opponents. And that is something, Bart, that is unacceptable. That is something that starts to become, because it's happened now twice. The last time it happened, they were out in L.A. against the Clippers last week. It happened then. And that should have been a this should never happen again. But it happened again. Now here's Breen, Mike Breen and Clyde Frazier on the call on MSG last night.
Randle has it. And Randle gets knocked and falls to the ground. As the first half comes to an end, Randle has to stop yelling at the officials. He's going to get a technical. His teammates trying to keep him away.
Leon Wu is a former player, NBA player.
And there's a technical foul.
It hurt enough for Randle.
It's become nonstop recently. Randle getting a man at Quickly, but Quickly's right. Randle has to stop.
And this is the point now where Quickly and everybody else on that team needs to let him know, you're on your own now. I'm not coming to your defense. I'm not helping you anymore because you're going to get in my face. We're brothers. I can't trust you in a foxhole if this is how you're going to act when it gets a little hot, when you're a little frustrated. You're going to take it out on us, your family? Like in L.A., when Tibbs was trying to hold him back and he shoves him off. I can't remember who the other player was that tried to hold him back, shoves him off. A staffer who's only trying to help comes over and he shoves him off. And now you do this to Quickly. Your teammates are never going to trust you again. The first time, you'll give it to them. Fool me once, right? Shame on you. Mm-hmm. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Shame on me.
We're done.
Dog. It's my bad. It ain't your bad. It's my bad.
Right. And so that's something to watch here as the pressure ratchets up now as we get closer to the playoffs. He was struggling a little bit. He clearly was looking. He had a 57-point performance. So you can't say, oh, he's been bad for a while. He's played well, then he's had a bad game, but he's got to get himself right mentally and physically again because they need him. And here's why they need him, Bart. Because another big story last night is Jalen Brunson is hurt again. He's got a right hand sprain. And it happened in the game against Miami. We get the news yesterday before the game that he will not play. And Tibbs said that he will be evaluated when they get home. Well, they're home now. And we're waiting for the news of the extent of this injury. But it's another one. He missed 5 of 6 games just recently. Came back with a sore foot. Came back. And you know how important he is to this team.
Yeah.
If he's hurt again and they lose him for any amount of time, this is now
all over again.
All of a sudden.
It can be last year all over again.
Well, again, I still think the playoffs will be.
Quickly's better. More equipped, I guess, right?
Quickly has been good as a starter. In fact, last night he had 25 points. He played very well last night. But you need Brunson for late game because he's level-headed and mature, and he's clutch. He's one of the top clutch scorers in the NBA. So this all turns from what we saw as the potential of this team a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, how good they were playing. Boy, this team's potential is very high. But then you also are seeing this, what you saw last night, the last two games, and you think to yourself, this is the worst of it. And they cannot be at this point getting into the playoffs, because it'll be a in and out. You'll be done quick. And boy, a fun season, a feel good season, yeah, could end in not just disarray, but frustration, and also big concern about, all right, where do we go from here? And are we sure that some of these guys are the right pieces? Yes. It's reality.
It's about chemistry. And listen, we see it happening with the Jets, right? You know, the Knicks and the Jets seasons are kind of parallel with each other, because I think people think, okay, well, the Knicks are building something, and they may not have got the superstar that they needed, but we got some superstars shaking loose. And after a year where they decided that, hey, that R.J. Barrett was an untouchable, or whoever they needed to add in there, now it's expectations all over again. It's almost like when they went to the playoffs, and then the next year they had expectations. They fell short.
Yep.
And this year, you have to understand that, you know, we got guys signed under good, reasonable contracts, but we have space. We heard Wendy say they got space for two superstars. Who knows what's going to shake loose? Who knows what's going to shake loose out there with the Clippers when they went forward and guys are getting hurt? Who knows if they're going to say, listen, we thought this core was enough, but we got to break this up. Like, with a guy like Paul George, who knows? You know what I mean? Somebody can shake loose. It's going to be some disappointing people and programs that are saying, you know, this ain't it for us. We need to do this over again.
Yeah, the business changes quickly, as we know, and that is something that you have to watch. But, you know, once again,
Knicks in a great position.
You thought, but you thought this team had something. Again, I remember our shows just a week ago, like how, like, this team plays hard. This team plays tough. This team is really very reminiscent of teams we used to love. And then, as you know, you see them hitting a wall physically, and the effort level certainly isn't there. You can excuse that. And I'll make the excuse of, you know what, they just were on a torrid pace, and they're just trying to catch their breath. And these 3 days off couldn't have come at a better time. But the injury to Brunson and the actions of Randle, which are not basketball related, that is him. Right. Those are two things. The Brunson injury is he can't control. He jammed his hand behind Jimmy Butler. It's just a freak accident, but he's hurt again. That is the frustrating part. But the part you can control is Randle and his actions. And as quickly as people will say, you know what, he's had a great year again, I forgive him, is that these things that happen now, you know, twice now in about a five-game span, that makes you start to say to yourself, you know what, this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable behavior, and it is something you have to consider going forward, especially as fans. You wanted so bad to embrace him again, but you see this, and it's never mind how it looks publicly. Because the old 90s Knicks fought with each other all the time. They used to smack Starks around all the time. Oakley, Ewing, Mason, they always were going at it with each other. That team just had, they were just that kind of team. A bunch of alphas, a bunch of dogs just fighting with each other along with the opponents. But what Randle just did last night was something that could be very damaging in that locker room with his teammates as you go into now the most pressure-packed games of the year when you get to the postseason.
Now, I think you hit the nail on the head, pressure. And we know Julius doesn't perform well with pressure. And listen, all the good favor that he had gathered from the weeks before about, you know, we had guys like, man, have you bought into him?
Yeah.
All that was a race. With Julius Randle, what he has to understand, it's always going to be a thin line between love and hate. Like, just understand it. Like, it doesn't make it fair, doesn't make it right. And you don't have to justify it to anybody. But when you have actions like that, you can't call yourself the unquestioned leader. I mean, because I feel like, you know, you showed up one of your young guys, a guy that's beloved by everybody, a guy that's like the little brother.
Gives everything. Guy gives everything.
And he's like like the little brother to everybody. And also, they have to re-sign him. And who's to say that he's like, you know, maybe I don't want to be around here because Julius is here and I don't really rock with him like that.
You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so he, you know, he maybe can change, right? And that's the thing, right? Because after all this good favor and what they've done in the second half of the season, and we applauded the Josh Hart signing, all that is erased if they go and they lay an egg, you know. And with Jalen Brunson being hurt, if they go into this first round of playoffs and lay an egg, then now you got to look all over again, because, right, like, how far does the patience go? Like, yeah, it's good to look decent during the regular season, and maybe we win games because we play hard, but when other teams up their effort level, we can't compete. we don't have enough. We thought we had enough, so maybe we need to consider bringing in a real superstar, because Julius Randle, when it comes down to crunch time, he doesn't operate as a high percentage decision maker. That's why Jalen Brunson, his injury is so concerning.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get some calls on this. We go to Mike in West Caldwell. What's up, Mike?
I don't think Julius Randle's tenure is going to go down as a beloved Nick. I know he's having a great year. I think Brunson's his buffer. I mean, that's obvious. And without him, who knows, he might be run out of town. But anything short of a championship, I don't think people are going to look back on him like, oh, I love this guy. Like, look in the crowd. It's all Brunson jerseys, Barrett, Obi, who doesn't even start. Like, we're tolerating him now because he's able to have a pretty decent season.
25-10,
but it's just bubbling. Like, I'm sorry?
No, like you said, 25-10, to your point.
That's what he's averaging.
Yeah, and it's like, which is great, but you don't feel like this fan base is wrapping their arms around him. We're almost just like tolerating his having a good year, but it's all because of Brunson. We all know it. I'm not saying anything that's not been said 100 times, but I just don't think he's going to go back, you know, or you're going to look back on him as a Nick you love. I just don't see that being the history for this guy.
It's unfortunate, Mike. It's unfortunate because, yeah. You know, it's funny. It's like, if you think about it, and I'm not denying anything you're saying, his presence, these 3 years, like two playoffs, two winning seasons, like these are the best years you've had since Melo was here. You know, yeah. You would think that you would look back at those years with Randle, but I think you're right. I think there is this feeling about him and the way he carries himself is the hardest thing. Like, it's fans want so bad. I've always told this to players. Fans want to love you. They want to love you. But you got to give them a reason. Dave in Jersey City. Dave.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, we're got here. You, Dave.
Oh, the thing is, the Knicks, they have like NBA JV players. They're not top-level players. Brunson, let's say if you take the Bucks, Brunson couldn't start on the Bucks. If you take Philly, he couldn't start. Whoever said they did.
No. Whoever said that, you're...
That's where the pressure...
Who?
You...
Who?
No, I'm trying to tell you my argument.
But what is it? You're saying that we all know that they're not as good as the Bucks and the Sixers and probably the Celtics.
But Julius Randle is the one that's carrying a lot of the pressure for the Knicks. And then I listen to the radio basically all day long. I love the radio. Mm-hmm. And all I hear is bashing of a guy that's busting his tail for a team that basically probably will just go out on the first round anyway when Cleveland get ready to run through him.
But Dave, can I ask you this? What he did last night to a teammate and then what he did last night to a coach, a teammate, and a staffer in front of cameras on the court a week ago in L.A., is that acceptable to you? Do you think that's all right?
I like Julius Randle a lot, but to me it seems like it goes back a while. I think Julius Randle is going through – something, and I'll be looking at him, and I'm like, he's going through something.
Well, this is a result of his behavior.
But he's still,
Dave. This is a result of his behavior last year, because he got the benefit of the doubt. Came in the first year, did a tremendous job. Came in, you know, gave the thumbs down or whatever he did last year. He was disgruntled. It was a bad season, and you know, this year he had repaired and got a lot of goodwill back from, you know, the team, because he seemed to have matured under Brunson being there. Maybe a lot of pressure is off. It's a lot of pressure to be the guy on the team.
Of course it is. No matter if you're a great player, but they're building
a program around him. He's their best player. So whether you're a best player or a good player when compared to other rosters, the responsibility always falls on the best player, and he's trying to deal with the pressure, but he's dealing with it in the wrong way. You have to understand that eyes are all on you until much is given, much is required. And he can't have decisions. He can't make decisions like that. You can't push the head coach. How's Tibbs going to be able to control everybody else if he's pushing the head coach? They're looking at Julius like attitude reflect leadership, and he's the leadership.
And again, I think character is revealed in the most pressure moments, and that's what we've seen. When things really go bad, you don't see a determination out of him. You see a frustration out of him. Craig in Brooklyn. Craig.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for having me on. Big fan of you guys. Me and my buddy Akash, who watches the Knicks out in Nashville, from Jersey, we just, you know, heads are going crazy. You want to know two things. First, what's it going to take for Tibbs to hold Randle accountable for his actions? Like, could have benched him in the second half, could have thrown him, could have said something in the press conference last night, but, you know, he's always wee, and Randle, like, you know, it's hurting the team at this point. So it was that, and wanted to know about a starting lineup change. To me, I think we got to put Hart in the starting five and let Barrett play off the bench more, because that's obviously where he's most productive. So wanted to get your thoughts on both those things.
Thanks, Craig. I mean, the first thing about the lineup change, I did suggest that when the trade happened, that I think, you know, Hart is a better fit. But what Tibbs has done, because, you know, again, this is all, you know, people have to understand, coaching is also managing personalities. And, you know, to tell R.J. Barrett you're going to the bench, he'd take it as a demotion. How would it affect him? Would you lose him a little bit? Like, all that stuff. And you could say, well, he has to be tougher, he has to be stronger. He's 22 years old. So I think Tibbs is probably looking at it like, I'll start him. But if you watch the game and the rotations, he plays most of the game with the bench. He starts the game with the starters. But then he starts the second quarter with the reserves. He starts the fourth quarter with the reserves. And he really doesn't play in crunch time anymore. Maybe here and there. But Josh Hart gets all those minutes. So that, in the end, is what matters. Now, the other part of it, Bart, that's the harder part. It's, when does Tibbs call him out? When does Tibbs handle it the right? Like, I thought there was a window there to say, you know what? That's the second time, man. You're not playing the second half.
Right.
I'm sitting you. And I'm doing this for the rest of the team. And we're going to lose this game probably because we don't have you. But I can't make the winning one game a priority over making sure that this doesn't do something in our locker room. But maybe he saw in the locker room that everything was fine. I don't know. Maybe Randle said something half time. I don't know. Tibbs is really good at keeping that stuff in-house. But Bart, how would you have handled that if you were a coach or a teammate? Would you say, you know what, that's the second time, man, he shouldn't play?
You need to ask yourself, how would Greg Popovich have handled it? Hmm. Like, we would expect Greg Popovich, and we expect Tibbs too, because he's like seen as an authoritarian, not a dictator, but a disciplinarian, right? A guy that's a no-nonsense guy that holds everybody accountable, but it seems like he has preferential treatment for Julius Randle. Like we expect Greg Popovich to call him out, to call Tim Duncan out. Bill Belichick to call Tim Duncan. Now, I look at Tibbs the same way I look at Bill Belichick. He's an OG, old school guy.
Yeah.
You know, I expect, like, if that was Pat Riley, even Spoelstra. Like, we saw Jimmy Buckets getting out of pocket, and he was right at him. And then Haslam was like, sit your ass down before I sit you down.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the fact that the Knicks don't have a senior player with the cachet to say, sit your ass down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't do that here. Like, you may be the best player here, which Jimmy Butler is, but I'm the OG here. The problem is the Knicks haven't had success, so they don't have a guy that can say, no, we don't do stuff like that.
It's
like, what is a Knick, right? And right now you have to be careful, because part of your identity is being laid out by your best player.
800
that we throw fit hissy fits.
I always think you're done. I always think like you're about to drop
the mic. I speaking of off rhythm.
No, but that was a perfect like rhythm, and then you always had one more thing to say.
I don't like then, Barack Obama. We as a people has come far as a nation.
ESPN
we can
New York.
Be better.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Like, when you were at the concert, like, how long did it take for your hearing to come back before you, like...
voice like, and hearing. Ringing. Can't hear a damn thing. Don't matter. The voice, everything. Your neck hurts because you just headbang, you know, like headbanging the whole time. jump in the mosh pit, come out with like broken, you know, like broken bones, sprained shoulder, ribs cracked. Yeah. Then you wonder why. Then you're like, I want to do that again. Pretty psycho. We're weird people. We are weird people, Bart. Like you don't ever imagine going to like a concert and just like going into a mosh pit, would you? No, it's not something you want to do.
Somebody pushed me hard the wrong way, I'm punching them in the face.
You know, Shaq like, one I've time went into a mosh pit. Can you imagine Shaq in a mosh pit? But poor little white kid just getting knocked around like
that. Thing is, we know Shaq fall harder than anybody. We saw the Kevin Hart special when he fall. Oh, somebody picked Shaq up, he and fell again. Like, then people start stumping on him, he can't get up. You know what I mean? Nah, man, nobody stays for those type of mosh pits. I don't care how big you are. It's like Rocky. Don't go down. You go down, you in a world of trouble.
So next week, when we get to next week, think about it. We're downhill towards the playoffs in the NBA. We know the Final Four is already set, right? When we talk again on Monday, so many things will be accomplished. And then on top of all that, baseball season will be upon us. As Thursday, opening day, the Yankees and the Giants at the stadium. And Anthony Volpe again, he got a two-run home run today. And it's like the excitement, anticipation, everything else about will he be on the roster? Will he be the starting shortstop? If he is, he'll actually be the youngest shortstop for the Yankees. And Jeter, I think it's days that he's younger than Derek Jeter when Jeter made his debut. So Volpe is a guy like I know I've talked about him a lot. There's other players, yes. There's pitching concerns, yes. I'm preferring to, at this time of year, to focus on the positives. And the positives are that this is a star we've been told about that was on the rise, that he was on his way in the anticipation of, will this be the time? Will this be the year? So Volpe, after his performance today, caught up with Jack Curry from Yes Network, and he talked about his confidence level that he will be the guy starting at shortstop opening day next week.
How confident are you that you've done enough this spring to prove to the Yankees you could and should be the starting shortstop?
I just think it's all about development. I'm super happy with, I feel like, how I even came in January and the work I've been able to put in and getting better and keep improving. So regardless of where I stand, I just think that I'm not really close to my ceiling yet. So there's a lot of hard work to be done, and I'm motivated and confident that with all the people in this organization that they'll help me out and help get me there.
Now, again, unnecessarily to point out that he hasn't reached his potential yet. I hope not. I mean, there's still so much, you know, so many years you're hoping that you will see out of him. But for the Yankees, it's not an easy decision. But for fans, it is. So many fans are just excited. You're always excited about the prospect that you've been hearing about that you want to see.
I'm tired of hearing about the prospect. I'm waiting to see one of these prospects live up to the truth.
Yeah.
Wasn't Gleyber supposed to be there? I don't know who's a bigger disappointment, Gleyber Torres or Amar Rosario.
Ahmed Rosario?
Yeah. Who's a bigger disappointment? Because he was supposed to be the truth, too, for the Mets.
I mean, at least Gleyber actually has, like, done
false
some
profits.
Stuff.
What has he done?
But Gleyber's done some stuff. Well, he hasn't. Look.
He showed up fat and out of shape.
Well, that's of late, yes. But in the very beginning, there was something. It was pretty exciting. Like, his potential.
Who's the other guy? The doubles machine that always used to get around. They sent him
Miguel Andujar.
I thought I was rooting for Andujar.
Yeah.
Like, we need somebody to come up. I mean, I've been hearing for Fly. I told you, I showed Florio little sweaty palms like 5 years ago. This dude still ain't came up. Like, damn.
You always see him the most in
They talk about his speed and all that stuff. Yeah, ball out.
See him all the time.
Call him up for four games. And that's all you see of him. But he been the truth in the future out in the outfield. Meanwhile, he can't beat out Aaron Hicks. What the hell are we talking about?
I mean, look, I don't want to focus on the negatives, which is the pitching injuries and all that stuff. But I do look at like Peraza, you know, and obviously he's somebody that is young. We saw a little bit of him last year. I love Cabrera. You know, Jason Dominguez had really good spring training as well. Like, these are the stories that when you're a fan, and this is the time of year you want to hear this stuff. Let's see these guys, who's on their way up, what kind of value they bring in for the future, and can anybody help right now? But Volpe's been that guy we've been hearing about so much that I think it was important. Look, think about this. I mean, Bart, they wouldn't trade him for a pitcher that they really could have used last year.
Yeah, that's a
loss. You think about that, right?
Castillo.
But no, but I'm serious, yeah. Right? They didn't trade him. And so, like, this goes back to the R.J. Barrett thing. They wouldn't trade R.J. Barrett for Donovan Mitchell. So this season, you're like, all right, we didn't trade RJ, so let's go, RJ. Take that step, become an all-star player. Well, he has not. He had a bad game last night, too, by the way. Did not play well. And so that's the frustration when you're a fan, is you're like, wait. This we got a young talent, homegrown guy, and we wouldn't trade him for a star piece, and I want to see him now take that step. Well, Volpe was somebody that we've always kind of heard about, whispers about, and all that stuff. You know, even last year as they moved him up in the organization, up to AA, you know, a little bit of cup of coffee, AAA. Like, it was like, okay, you know, we're hearing about his emergence, but I want to see it. And they wouldn't trade him for really, like, for a pitching piece that you really could have used last year. So you come to spring training, and here comes that name again. Oh, Anthony Volpe. I want to see what he can do. Well, he's had a hell of a spring training. And that's what you want as a fan. Okay, at least live up to some of the hype so that I can start getting excited about what you can become. And as now you reach this point of he should make the team, it's up to the organization to decide whether or not it's the right move right now. My guess is they're going to say no. That's my guess. Because like I said, they have Peraza. They still have IKF. Yeah, like there's still a bit of a jam there. And maybe just like, you know what, put him in AAA, let him just mash for a while, and at some point of the season, if we need him, we'll bring him up then. Yeah. I just don't know if they're going to do it because they don't have the desperate need for it.
Right. I mean, like when Alonso got called up early, we were all shocked that the Mets didn't play around with his service time. And sometimes you just got to show up. Also, when we talk about that all the time, about, hey, pay your guys that do their thing and perform earlier and all that type of stuff in other sports. Like, this whole thing that they have with playing with people's service time and guys being 28, 29 years old by the time they get to free agency, man, like, get to it, man. Let's get busy winning and quit worrying about owning somebody's rights and the finances of it.
Of course.
Somebody's earned the right to be in the starting lineup and be part of that 40, man, then put the dudes up, man. It's stupid. Like, in the union, we always talk about how the baseball union is the strongest. This is something that they have to eradicate and eliminate. I shouldn't be punished because I went to damn college, man. This
yeah, that's
crazy.
Always been frustrating, that whole thing. And again, the arbitration process is something that they've had forever. As I mentioned before, if Volpe does start, he would be the youngest since Jeter. And by days, Volpe will be, if he is the starting shortstop opening day next Thursday, he'd be 21 years old, 336 days. Derek Jeter was 21, in 1996, was 21 years and 281 days old. So the comparisons are on that level. Now, again, the comparisons as players, you can't do it. But comparisons as young phenom, the position, the way he carries himself, you know, you hear in these interviews, I mean, when he talks, it's just like you could just tell that he's got the right makeup for what they need him to do at a very young age. And it is very much like Aaron Judge. The Judge came in and he had that same kind of Derek Jeter way about him. Mm-hmm. And when you're the Yankees, you need more guys like that. That understand, that can handle pressure and the pressure to perform, the pressure to play in New York, but the pressure of expectations as well. So we'll see what happens. But again, for Bart, I'm telling you, next week, a lot of great stuff going on next week. And who knows, maybe we finally get some traction in the Aaron Rodgers trade pursuit as well.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So Bart, we got some Sweet 16. We got a lot going on this weekend, my man. So let's get right into what you can't wait to see this weekend.
Oh man, listen, I love the Cinderella story, but I tell you what, 12 o'clock is coming for a couple of guys as we're going to make sure that by the time we get to next week and the time we come back, it's going to be the Elite Eight.
Final Four.
And the Final Four. Can FAU keep it going? Or will the cream rise to the top? You're talking about Alabama. Mm-hmm. We got what we call them, the blood bloods, because they ain't blue. They blood, they uniform is actually the color of blood. The maroon
Crimson.
Bloods. Listen, I'm excited about that because I am a helicopter basketball fan, right?
Yeah.
Because I went to Saluki, so like we were Elite Eight a couple years, and I know what that magic carpet ride can do for the program. For the coaches of those programs, you know, Bruce Pearl was my coach when I was back there at Southern Illinois. He went to Purdue, left us high and dry, but it's all good. But I look forward to those type of opportunities to see if we actually can see one of these Cinderellas actually one day win. Will Gonzaga finally get upset, right? Talk about who I think they're playing UConn. UConn's playing amazing, but that's not what I'm most excited about.
No.
What I can't wait to see the most, oh, I've been waiting for this. This fight's been brewing for a long time, and it's real bad blood and a lot of talent, and I want some get back. Caleb Plant knocked out Andre Durrell from Flint. Hurt my feelings. They were talking mad trash, calling with that check hook, night-night. Then stood over him and took the shovel and dug him a grave. I can't wait to see if David Benavidez, one of the most ducked super middleweights in all of boxing, can go ahead and put in that work. Caleb Plant got a lot of talent. When he stepped up in class, he got knocked out by Canelo. But if Benavidez wins, he's going to challenge Canelo, becomes the mandatory. He's 6'2". We've seen Canelo knock a lot of guys out, but he ain't fought a lot of guys in their prime. This guy is prime, ready to go, and he is a sure enough badass. I'm waiting for somebody to finally knock Canelo off the top of the mountain. I know he lost when he went up, you know, a couple years ago, but that didn't count because he was two weight classes up. I want to see if he loses to a guy in his real weight class so that now you can only talk about Floyd and Andre Ward as far as being the big dogs. It's time to knock Canelo, who's been ducking people and been not fighting the best talent because he's also ducked the Charlo's twins as well. Now he got to come up. Mandatory. Step up, chump. Viva America! I'm sorry, both of them are – neither one of them are American, so never mind. Benavidez, I just thought I would – I don't know.
I mean, I love that. You always love the fight game. You always try to get those in involved. And on the weekends, you know, you're always trying to tune into something
that's
like
that. That's what Saturday's all the way about.
Saturday
baby.
Nights, right. It's definitely all about that, those late night fights. But so, all right, so we got Sweet 16 tonight. You want some of the matchups here. So the first one, there's Louisville, Kentucky, San Diego State against Alabama. That's a 6:30 tip-off, and Alabama's favored by 7, according to Caesars. Then you go to Kansas City for their first game of the doubleheader. That's where the other regional is. And it's Miami and Houston. And Houston, who's been number one this year, they're favored by 7.5. That's a 7:15 p.m. tip-off. And then, of course, locally, the 9 o'clock, as we go back to Kentucky, Princeton and Creighton. Can Princeton keep it rolling? Keep the dream alive? Creighton is favored by 10. Disrespect. But plus 400 on the money line for Princeton? I don't need to go to Ivy League school to know that's worth something.
Let's see if the Blue Kyle Culvers can get him done.
You know what I mean? Just put a little something down. And then Xavier, the last one's a 9:45 tip. Xavier in Texas, and Texas is favored by 4. So that's your matchup. I'll tell you what, plus 400 money line for Princeton? I mean, you know, break a little something off. Like I said, it's Friday. You got a paycheck. A little something, see if the magic can continue in March Madness. It's been a fun tournament so far, but by the end of this thing, when we get back here on Monday, Bart, we'll have a Final Four, and baseball season will be upon us. Have a great weekend, everybody. K-Show is next. Bart, I'll see you Monday.
Uh-huh. Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.